And we are live. Amen. Pastor Freeman, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and break your microphone. Break these things on a regular basis, but I've never broken one to where that it can't be fixed. Amen. I do thank you for the opportunity to be here, Pastor. Thank you, Brother Thompson, everywhere you've took off to for calling me as well. It's a privilege to be here, Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you so much for the wonderful room, the wonderful meals thus far. We look forward to spending the rest of the week with you. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Book of Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, a lot of people will criticize Peter for this request that he made of God, or of Jesus, of God manifest in the flesh. Of course, there they'll criticize him for the request because Jesus had told them to get into a boat and to do this. But if you look back, and you can look in many different places, you can look in Matthew 8, you can look in Mark 10, Luke 9, Matthew 16, and there are times when the disciples, Pastor, would do or say something that was a little out of line of what Jesus wanted, a little maybe getting ahead of the things that God was getting ready to do. And Jesus would immediately rebuke his men at that time. And I believe that if Peter had have been wrong in his request here, that Jesus would have done the very same thing. He would have immediately addressed the issue and said, hang on, Peter, that's not what I told you to do. But look what verse 29 says. And he, speaking of Jesus, said, come. So he immediately tells Peter, Peter, if you've got the faith in me that you think that I can let you do the same thing I'm doing, come on, step out on the water, and you can walk on the water with me. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Thank you so much for the privilege to be here and to enjoy the good fellowship with the people of this church and for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the challenge to my heart this morning and the challenge to this local church and the people assembled here. God, and I pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives. God, but now we've come to this service and come to this hour. And God, I pray that you would touch me, thy servant, touch the other men who will stand behind me and use them greatly for your honor and for your glory. For what you do, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name that your will would be accomplished. Amen. I want to look for just a few minutes at Peter. He's a man who, let's just be honest, there's a lot of times in his life that we wouldn't want anything to do with him. We find him, he's often getting ahead of the Lord, like I said a while ago. He's sticking his foot in his mouth. He's trying to worship men sometimes. He's gathering around the fire of the enemy, and he's hanging out with the enemy, and we find him cussing. We find him denying God. But when I look at Peter's life as a whole, and when I look at everything, I have to stand back, Brother Oliver, and I have to say, I want to be like Peter. He's a man that, yes, he failed. He's a man that he failed. Why? Because he was a man. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. In other words, there is none good. No, not one. We're never going to be perfect. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. But Peter, every time that you find Peter falling, you find Peter getting back up. Every time that you find Peter sticking his foot in his mouth, by the grace of God, he can get his foot pulled out of his mouth and he can go on and do something great for God. So I want to look at a few things about Peter tonight, just real quick, and we'll be done and out of the way. And I want to look at some things that when I look at Peter's life, especially here in this text, that I want to be like Peter in. First of all, I see Peter's collective faith, and that's mainly the thing that we're looking at tonight is his faith here. I see Peter's collective faith in verse 22 when the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Now, the very next thing that you find is you find the disciples in the boat. Now, to be honest, this is one of the easiest things, really the easiest thing that we find Peter doing in this passage of Scripture. When Jesus said, get into the ship and go before me into the other side, he's not really asking Peter to do something that he's never done before. He's not asking him to do something hard. And in fact, he's not even asking him to do something alone. He sees Mark get in. He sees Matthew get in. John's getting in. Luke's getting in. If anything happens, Brother Greg, on the way across the sea, no big deal. We've got the Dr. Luke with us. Nothing wrong with that. He sees even Doubting Thomas as he gets in. So he sees these other men getting in. And that's when it is very easy for us, is when it's a collective move of faith. When the pastor says, when somebody says, when God says, do this, and you see other people, you see your friends, you see your family, you see your church family, you see people going in that same direction, going with God, it's a collective move of faith, and as long as you're in the crowd, it's real easy. So we see Peter's collective faith. We see Peter's informed faith in verse 22, where the Bible says, I put the wrong verse down. No, I didn't. Looking at two different things here. I'm sorry. We see his informed faith as well in verse 22. I mentioned a little bit a while ago, Peter, he knows ships. We know that Peter, he was a fisherman. And so you know that Peter, of course, has been on boats before. He and his brother, they owned a boat and they owned the nets and everything. We see Peter later on even that he had not even gotten rid of the boat at this point. Because we know that he went back to his old life of fishing. So we know that Peter knows what it is to be on a boat. He knows what it is to be on this sea. He's fished this sea for years and years. It's not something that Peter is ill-informed about. It's something that Peter is very comfortable with, in fact. So when God says, I want you to do something, and you step out, and yes, you're doing it on faith, maybe there's a lot of other people that's doing it. Maybe there's not a lot, but you at least know something about it, and you're informed about it. It's easy to go ahead and do something when you at least know what it is, when that it's something that you're comfortable with. Peter could look at the boat. He could say, look, you know, I know that from the way that this boat looks, it's in good condition. I know the men that are in charge of this boat. I've talked to them, and they know what they're doing. We should be good. Everything that Peter's looking at, he's very well informed of. So he's still not having to exercise a lot of faith. Anytime that you act on the will of God, when God says something, you've got to exercise some sort of faith in Him to carry you through. But He's doing it with a collection of other men. He's doing it with a lot of information that He already knows. And He's doing it with proven faith we see also. We've already dealt a little with Matthew 8, where Jesus was asleep in the ship, or at least we would if we had looked in depth at these verses that I mentioned a while ago. We would have already dealt a little bit with Matthew 8. And Jesus there, he's asleep in the bottom of the ship. And so he knows that no matter what happens, that as long as Jesus has told him to do something, that he's going to be okay. Jesus had told them to get into the ship the other time. Yes, Jesus is not getting on the ship with him, but Jesus has proven that as long as you are in my will, as long as you are where I want you to be, Peter, you don't have to worry about it. I will take care of you. So we see Peter's proven faith. This is where I really want to get to, though, to Peter's what I want to call incomparable or unmatched faith. And I want to slow down maybe for just a minute and really say something to you here, and we'll be done. Matthew 14, verse 28. Look at what the Bible says. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the water, out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now this happens, they tell me, about 3.12 to 3.7 miles offshore. He's in deep water. He's fished for years. He knows that the water can be dangerous. He knows that he's out of his element, so to speak, if anything happens to him on this water. Yes, sure, Peter can swim. Sure, Peter knows the water. Sure, Peter knows the ship. But he's never walked on this water. He's fished this water. He's floated across this water on a boat, but he's never walked on it. We mentioned a while ago that there are people that criticize Peter for this question of, Lord, can I get out of the ship? The question that I have is, when's the last time that they walked on water? In other words, when is the last time that you and I did something that man looked at and said, that's impossible. You cannot do that. It's a total impossibility. How many of these men in this passage do you think had the same opportunity? John the Beloved is there. Do you not think Jesus would have let him walk on the water? These other men, they're there. And they had that same opportunity. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible tells us, for there is no respect of persons with God. If God would let Peter do it, surely he would have also let them do it if they'd have had enough faith to say, hey, Lord, can I come too? They all had the exact same opportunity to do exactly what Peter did. So my question to you and I tonight is this. We all hear the stories. Brother Larson, I loved hearing the stories this morning of what God had done in and through your ministry and through these other men. I love hearing those stories. I love hearing stories, Pastor, of men, for instance, Adoram Judson and Nick Sain and others and these great missionaries that we hear of old. I love reading the stories. I love reading those stories and seeing what God has done for other men. I love hearing men tell about what God has done for them. But when are we going to start getting stories, not of what God did for this person, not of what God did for this family, not of what God did for this missionary, but when are we going to start getting stories of this is what God has done for us? Not look what somebody else done, but when are we going to be able to say, look what God let me do? I was able to step out and walk on the water. I was able to step out and do what is impossible to man. I was able to step out and do something that's beyond me. Look what God did for me instead of look what God did for him. I'm tired. Brother Oliver, I am tired of saying God did this for him. I've heard a lot of stories about what God did for people in Idaho. I don't want to tell those stories. I want to be able to come back and someday say, listen, it's been this many years since I've been here. Let me tell you what God's done. And if it's done in the right way, the very last thing I want you to see is the one that's glorified by Peter's faith. Verse 32 and 33, the Bible says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. They didn't say that to Peter. They're kneeling at the feet of Jesus. And they're saying, I seen what Peter done. I seen what you did. I seen what Peter did. I seen what Peter did. Only the Son of God could do that. Nobody came up to Peter and said, hey, Peter, man, you was walking on that water like a pro. Peter, hey, Peter, can you teach me to do that? In fact, when everything's said and done, Peter steps aside, he sits down, gets out of the way, and in essence, Peter's saying, it wasn't me, it was him. He's the one you need to glorify. If you and I will let God work in our life, we can walk on water. If you and I will let God work in our life and walk on water, and we'll do it with the right attitude and the right spirit, in the end, people won't say, look at Caleb Ballou. People will not say, look at Brother Bradley. Look at Brother Jacobs. People will not say, look at Fellowship Baptist Church. Look at Pastor Freeman. People will say, man, look what God is doing through them. Look what they've allowed God to do. I want to serve God the way that they do. I want to be like Peter in this area. Thank you, Pastor.